Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
The Bible describes itself in Hebrews 4, verse 12, as being living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Certainly, the Bible is an instrument that should be daily used by every intelligent person. And we should remember that it's a two-edged sword, that such an instrument cuts both ways. And to handle such a powerful weapon, we must be well acquainted with it. Jesus commanded the people of his day, in John 5, verse 39, "Search the Scriptures, for they are they which testify of me." It's evident that this statement, that we must study to know the Word of God and to know God. Someone may say, well, is it not possible to know God through nature without the Bible? And the answer is yes, it is possible to recognize that there is a God who exists, and that can be recognized through nature. The psalmist David said in Psalms 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork." But it's only in God's book that we can find his will toward us. Isaac Watts expressed it this way when he said, "The stars that in their courses roll have much instruction given, but thy good word informs my soul how I may climb up to heaven." When the Apostle Paul addressed the people in Athens, he said, "As I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you.'" Acts 17, verse 23. These people had observed the heavens as they declared the glory of God, but it was still necessary for Paul to preach the gospel that they might know God. It may be that many right now have a knowledge that God exists, but they don't really know God. Well, we look at a watch, and we know that these did not come by chance. The wristwatch that I'm wearing testifies to the fact that somebody designed it. But the watch in and of itself never would identify the designer. The watch bears evidence of the fact that somebody designed it, somebody created it, somebody manufactured it. But it does not identify the maker. So the heavens declare the glory of a supreme being, yet it's the Bible that reveals his name and his will and his wishes. So not only must we study the Bible to know God, but we must study it to understand the will of God. David said in Psalms 119, verse 130, "The entrance of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple." The Lord expects you to understand the Bible. He said, "Be not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is," Ephesians 5, verse 17. Paul expected the Christians to understand his written message to them, for he said in Ephesians 3, verse 4, "that when ye read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." The Holy Spirit guided the apostles that they might write in a way for everyone to understand. They directed that their letters be read to the congregations to whom they were written. The Roman letter is addressed to all of God's beloved who are in Rome, and not to a particular class in the church. The Lord sent to the Corinthians a letter, and it was addressed to all who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in every place, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2. Now, if the common people of the first century could understand the Bible, and we know that they could, we can understand it now, for God is no respecter of persons. Some people feel that they cannot understand the Bible because they are unlearned. But the Christian scholars of the first four centuries answered this objection. One of those early writers, Chrysostom, said, quote, "It is impossible for you to be alike ignorant of all. For it was for this reason that the grace of the Spirit appointed that publicans and fishermen tent makers and shepherds and unlearned and ignorant men should compose these books, that none of the unlearned might be able to have recourse to this excuse, that the words then spoken might be intelligible to all. Well, Chrysostom then mentioned that the heathen philosophers concealed their meanings in a dark mist. But he added that the apostles and the prophets did quite the reverse. For what proceeded from them, they set before all men plain and clear as being the common teachers of the world, that each individual might be able, even of himself, to learn the sense of what they said from the mere reading. Well, these ancient Christian scholars certainly refute some of the modern church officials who say the Bible is not without its value to those of us who are the clergy, but for the laity it's a stumbling block which cannot be taken out of their way. And some use a statement of the Apostle Peter as proof that the common people are not to interpret the Bible for themselves. They rest the scriptures in 2 Peter 1, verse 20, where Peter says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Now, when this passage is used to prove that the Bible cannot be privately or individually understood, it is being misused. Peter has no reference at all to those who read the scriptures. He refers clearly to those who wrote the scriptures. He says the prophecy did not come from the prophet, but from the Spirit of God. The prophet was not allowed to give his private interpretation. He simply recorded faithfully what God informed him of. So Peter said, in effect, no prophecy of Scripture is of the prophet's own invention, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And there are those who say that we can't understand the Word of God, but the early church had no fear of the common man reading the Bible and understanding it for himself. It never desired to teach anything that was not in the Bible, and so it was not afraid of the people discovering contradictions between the Bible and its teachings. So we're studying today the importance of searching the Scriptures, the importance of studying the Word of God. Remember those Bereans we read of in Acts 17? They received the Word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the Scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. We need to study the Bible to know whether or not men are teaching the truth. The Apostle John said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. 1 John 4, verse 1. Christ himself commanded the members of the church in Ephesus for rejecting false apostles. He said, thou hast tried them which say that they are apostles and are not, hast found that they are liars. That's in Revelation 2, verse 2. Luke tells us how the early Christians checked on their teachers. He said that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Acts 17, verse 11. Christian scholars of the early centuries taught the same thing. One writer by the name of Basil said, those who are instructed in the scriptures ought to test the things that are said by their teachers, and to receive what agrees with the scripture and to reject what disagrees with scripture. So we need to study the Bible to know whether or not men are teaching the truth. And we need to study the Bible to learn how to do God's will. Our attitude should be, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Command, and I will obey. The Bible is not only to be read, but it's to be followed. We should guard against having the attitude of the man who was lost in the woods with a compass. When he was found, he was asked why he did not travel by the compass. He said that he didn't dare to do so, for when he wished to go north, he tried hard to make the thing point north, but it wasn't of any use. He said he would shake it and shake it, and it pointed southwest every time. Well, he simply didn't turn it in his hand so that the needle was pointing north. And many people fail in the right direction in life, for they are afraid to take the Bible and follow just as it points. The Lord said, "It's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps," Jeremiah 10, verse 23. "So there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." So God gives us the Bible, and he expects us to follow it. Now, another reason for studying the Bible is a direct order of Christ himself. He commanded in John 5:39, as we read earlier, that we search the Scriptures. We need to search to understand, search to come to a knowledge. And that word implies that there's a determined and diligent effort on our part. Nowhere does the Lord suggest that we may browse through the Bible, or that we can just casually read and benefit from it like we might read the comics in the newspaper. The Bible is a mine that's rich in gold and precious things, but we have to do the digging and we have to work our way in order to produce those gems that are there. Christ said in Matthew 7, verse 7, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." And we have the Lord's command to search the Scriptures and his promise that our search will be rewarded. Now, another very good reason for studying the Bible is that we might be able to teach it to our children, teach the lessons of righteousness. In the Old Testament, the Lord said to parents, I'm reading from Deuteronomy 6, verse 6 and verse 7, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up." He was saying, teach the word to your children. And in the New Testament, in Ephesians 6, 4, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." And how sad that many parents fail to study the Bible, and as a result of their failure, their children ask in vain for the help they need. They're put off with excuse by those who are unable to give a reason for the faith that's within them, and the result has been a generation or more that's skeptical, that do not know the Word of God. So search the Scriptures. In them are the words of eternal life.